Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on 790 The Ticket.
It's you.
What do you mean it's me?
Turn your Skype mic off.
That better?
Yep.
All right, cool. We'll take it up until 10 o'clock. Ron Rothstein, the great Ron Rothstein, is going to join us in the final hour of today's program. Close out the show with little Ron, the GOAT.
What do you think he does when he gets up?
What do I think he does?
Does that little, that old Asian stuff?
Tai Chi?
Yeah. Gets up with a cup of coffee and some Tai Chi.
Maybe. Watch a little film. I don't know. I feel like he's more of like a, I don't know. Like
read
just
the still reads the newspaper.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ron Rossi still reads the newspaper. Box, old school box score.
Flip phone.
No, Ron actually, Ron texts emojis. Ron's an emoji guy.
Hey, what's funnier than the old dude? What's funnier than the old guy texting emojis?
I love it. I know that's a bit of an upset, but no, I've texted with Ron Rossi.
You know who else is an emoji texter?
Who?
Barry Jackson.
Is he?
Barry Jackson, big time emoji texter. I don't text him all the time.
That's a bit of an upset. No. Yesterday I actually called Ron because I haven't talked to him in a little bit. So I called him up and spoke to him. But normally when I've texted him, he's hit me with emojis. I was like, huh, Ron Rothstein, emoji guy. All right.
Look, I need to get my point across. I'm trying to get in, get out. I ain't got time to go find the proper emoji. Right? Like, come on.
Well, the eggplant emoji.
Eggplant emoji. Yeah, we've played that experiment before.
Oh, well, yeah. Whoops. I started getting all kind of vegetables.
So I want to ask you this, Leroy. So we were talking about last hour about the Dolphins and mm-hmm. Tua having the twitch and all that, but they did have news yesterday where they signed Noah Igbinoghene to his rookie deal. Finally got done. Number 30 pick. They had three first round picks this year. One thing I did find interesting is that we did go into an off season where they traded all these draft picks. They got all this draft capital. They traded Laremy Tunsil and they traded Minkah Fitzpatrick, who everybody thinks the world of. Everybody was insulted. He wasn't, you know, top 10 in Madden, even though his guts category is at zero.
So Madden has a new.
Yeah, you could make top 10.
Madden has a new.
You want to be accurate.
If you have a zero in any of your categories, that will ruin your average. So you can't be top 10.
Is that a thing in Madden? Guts?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Guts
no,
rating
it's
is
not.
Huge. Oh yeah.
I wonder what your Madden rating would. How you would rate players? Because I say Twitch, onions.
Yep.
Right? Like,
yep.
We go Twitch, onions,
spin. These are the categories. These are the categories that matter to me. But I was curious, like, what, you know, Robbie brings up the power rankings and all that, and they had, what do they have Chris Greer at, Robbie? They had him at a top 15?
Yeah, as far as a draft, they had the Dolphins 10th and front office 14th.
I just think, you know, the interesting thing about how the front office went, and I know why they had to do it, but they went and they traded a left tackle and they traded a defensive back. That's exactly the way they went in the first round after Tua. And I just wonder if that's going to come back to bite him in the ass at all, because you do have two guys who are, you know, think of, you know, we joke about them all we want with the gas mask and Minka being mama's boy with
he's
no guts.
He's the highest paid tackle in the league.
Yeah. So, like, I just feel like that does set up those guys to be in tough spots to succeed because, look, those first round picks, I mean, say what you want, but they were hits. So I wonder if that's going to put those guys in a tough spot on how we're grading them, how we grade Chris Greer, or does he have the ultimate trump card of this draft is going to be remembered or forgotten or live and die with what Tua does?
Yes, because keep in mind, that was the whole plan. The fact that you didn't have to trade any draft capital to get Tua means that you're ahead of the game. Because if it were up to you, right, you would have basically traded all of your first round picks for Tua.
I remember those debates.
Oh, I
So if you were willing to do that and you end up with two additional players, you got to be ahead of the game. Here's my problem. I always have a problem in sports. When you trade or get rid of a guy and then go draft another guy that you hope turns out to be the guy you got rid of.
Yes.
That's the whole point. The whole point is to get there. Now, what makes it different about football and what makes it unique about football is if you don't have enough players on the same timeline, then eventually that day is going to come anyway. Because you're going to pay three guys come up this year. If they pan out, which you want them to, three guys come up this year, two guys come up that year, and then you by yourself, you guys are never going to be able to play that stretch of 5 or 6 years together. But left tackle, the highest paid left tackle in the league, I would imagine. Now, and the other thing is Tua's left-handed. Not that it matters. Not that it matters, right? Unless teams start swapping, start flipping their rush guys, which, I mean, it's possible, but not really. And so
that's oversold, you think, with the whole right tackle, left tackle thing?
Yeah, it's a blown, like, don't worry. I would say your left tackle is usually more agile, right? Your right tackle is usually, your right side of the offensive line is usually beefy, right? They're the beefy guys that can move. Your left side of the offensive line is, if you notice, your left guard is usually the guy that pulls. The left tackle is the guy that is nimble on his feet, quick on right. his feet, because he's got to get back. So it doesn't mean that the other guys can't do it. It's just that we've grown into getting accustomed with saying left tackle protects quarterback's backside.
And in fairness to Chris Greer, too, there's still one more first-round pick to come from that Laremy Tunsil trade. I mean, unless they, you know, make some home run hitting trade.
Why would you? I would love to have 5, 6, 7 young guys that end up playing 6 or 7 years together. If you still have the same coach, the same GM, then you're building something. You're building something with guys like that, right? Especially if they're at key positions.
Let's get the headlines, Robbie. What do you got, man?
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Which is brought to you by the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores, truly steps beyond convenient. One other note from that list. By the way, the Ravens are number one. But here's the note, you guys are talking about that, the trade with the Houston Texans with Laremy Tunsil. The Dolphins, we know they're ranked number 20 in the future power rankings on ESPN.com, but they're actually ranked ahead of the Houston Texans, who are 23rd, and they got Deshaun Watson.
Oh, I bet they have Bill O'Brien. They got to have him, like, really below on the coaching tree, right?
He's 20th on coaching, but the 31st in draft and 32 in front office.
Jeez. Well, is he the front office guy there too? Isn't he technically? Yep. Oh, boy.
He's everything.
Yeah, he's a general manager.
That was the year where the only way you could get a coach was to give him all the power.
Oh, boy. Well, that's no bueno. When you're 20th in coaching and you're 31st in GM and you have both jobs.
That's like why where the Dolphins are doesn't make sense.
That's weird.
You can't be top 15 and then be what? 30th? Because it, keep in mind, this is 3 years, right?
No, they were 20th. They were they were 15. I think they were, what were they? 10th? 15, 14 in GM coaching, and they were 20th overall.
10th in draft, 14th in front office, 16th in coaching. That's where the Dolphins were.
And their roster talent outside of quarterback was what?
26.
That was 26. That was really low.
Okay, but it still doesn't make sense.
Well, that's why I'm saying it all comes, you know, that's kind of what I'm getting into with Chris Greer, though. Like, it's all going to come down to what his career is going to be defined by that quarterback.
Here's the thing that saves you, though. If everybody wanted Tua and you were lucky enough to get him and it doesn't work out, you kind of get a pass because you didn't reach.
They didn't reach. They did not reach.
In fact, the good GM move was to not fall for any of the shenanigans and not trade any picks to
Detroit.
Get
to.
I suppose the only thing that could really burn him is if Justin Herbert becomes a stud and Tua.
No one's going to criticize it for success. That because we all wanted Tua. Like, you know, if Justin
right,
Herbert.
That's what I'm
we
saying.
All wanted Tua. No. That's the best feeling a Dolphin fan had that draft night. I don't know what you could compare it to.
You think could be better without playing a game? Get out of here.
Dude,
If you're a fan, I'm gonna tell you right now. If you're a fan and the most excited you've been in a while is over a draft pick, I would say with the Heat
the LeBron decision slash celebration was, I would say, a top 10 night in Heat history.
Top 10. You said we're two of the best.
Not the best, but it's the best it's felt in a while.
No.
Sure. What compares? I think, did we do a poll about this? Like, what felt better, drafting Tua or the Miami Miracle in the moment?
Well, what gave you the greater feels?
Yeah, what gave you the feels or something like that? And I think Tua won.
The Miami Miracle, because it made you win a game.
No, anyway, I feel like you argued the other side of this the other time.
You definitely argued the other side because you said the end result didn't matter as much because the Patriots still went on to win the Super Bowl. That was your point.
Did I?
Yes.
Yeah. I think you're boxed in.
No. Hold on. There is no way in hell I'm letting you two clowns box me in when you don't even know.
Nah, I'm pretty sure.
Run the tape.
Run the tape? What? Rusty.
Right. Run the tape. If you can't run the tape, I'm not.
I might be able to find that tape. Just give me some time.
Let me see. I can see if I can. I gotta find the. I gotta find the poll, Robbie, so you can find out what date it is. Anyway, so what else we got, Robbie?
Oh yeah, as far as the draft class is concerned, the Dolphins finally signed their last first round pick that wasn't signed, Noah Igbinoghene. But
here it is. I have the poll, Robbie. It was on April 28th. Here is the poll. What felt better in the moment? Drafting Tua Tagovailoa or the Miami Miracle? And we had 1,200 votes, and 66% of the audience said drafting Tua Tagovailoa.
I think it was Miami Miracle because, you know.
And I think I said Miami Miracle too, and Leroy was on the side of drafting Tua because Miami Miracle didn't matter.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I cannot recall.
Now, look. They're probably the two best feelings they've had over the last 10 years. And I mean, like, not a lot of competition, let's be honest.
Did you guys get Putin?
No. We were just silent, and I had to tell my daughter to close the gate so the dog doesn't attack Senor Gato.
Somebody said, that's a bold stance to take, Leroy, when you're coming from Cleveland. I played in Cleveland. I'm not coming from Cleveland. Let me tell you. There is no person on any of these shows that's more familiar with losing growing up than me. I promise you that. I promise you. My team growing up didn't have a winning record my whole childhood. Their first winning record in the franchise was when I went to college. So please, let's not even talk about once I got to Cleveland. Think I don't know about losing. Yeah. I was losing aficionado when I was growing up.
Tough.
We learned different ways to lose.
By the way,
the
Cleveland
Dolphins
Browns
never put bags over their heads.
Cleveland
y'all
Browns
went 1-15. Still no bags.
What were you saying, Robbie?
I said the Cleveland Browns, 16th on the list.
Hmm.
Yeah, their overall roster minus the quarterback is 7th.
Yeah.
But
I would agree with that.
The quarterback is 22.
Well, I think of that weapons list that we did the last week, I think they were 2nd.
Well, look, they got a running back ran for 1,500.
Yep, they got Odell.
You got
Jarvis
two
Landry.
Perennial Pro Bowlers at wide receiver.
Yep.
You got a tight end who can run if he plays.
You got another tight end. They just paid Austin Hooper more than anybody in the league.
Right. Let's not talk about defense. You got a top 5 defense in the league with just an animal as a rush in.
And you got a quarterback that got chased down by a fat cop.
Yeah. Man, I remember saying that. I'm not drafting the guy that can't outrun a fat cop with dress shoes on. He didn't even have the stretchy pants on. He had the full slacks, officer slacks. He didn't have the spandex slacks.
What else you got, Robbie?
By the way, Robert Hunt is the last unsigned draft pick by the Dolphins, a 2nd rounder, which I find odd. Tobin, did you see that the Marlins are finalizing their roster and Monty Harrison did not make the 30-man big league roster?
Oh, yeah. A little bit surprising here. I got to say, Donnie Baseball was going out there and he was praying Monty Harrison. He was praising up to the high hills all the time. Donnie Baseball saying, Monty this, Monty that, Monty all day, every day, all day. He'll be in Jupiter, but that's okay. He's going to get big damn at bets against 6'2" Sanchez. Edward Cabrera. Go out there, get himself all prepped up. A little bit of a hole in the swing. Don't want yourself a situation where you got Lewis Brinson 2.0. This guy will get the first call up because they're going to go Magnier Sierra. They're going to put him out there for like 2 seconds, realize he stinks up the joint, and they say, let's bring up Monte. Let's bring him up. Put him in the outfield. Let's hit some bombs. Launch angle, Mean Gene. No further questions.
It's funny how little patience you just had with that baseball player.
Who? Lewis Brinson?
No, the other guy where that
Oh, Sierra?
Yeah.
Well, he only made the team because he's out of options. Like if they would have sent him to Jupiter.
It's by default. It's by default.
Oh, okay. But you have a lot more patience with Bobrovsky.
Not the same. You know, I actually got a stat for your ass. Got a stat for your ass.
You have to go deep into the analytics.
Nope. Don't do that. That's not true. Let me get this from. I'm gonna see.
It ain't your stat.
No, it's not my stat. It was like NHL.com or something like that. NHL Public Relations tweeted this out yesterday. Check this. All right, Sergei Bobrovsky has appeared in 27 career head-to-head regular season matchups against the Islanders. He is 16-10-0. He has a 2.18 goals average against with a 93% save percentage. 3 shutouts.
Can I ask you a question?
And not put it here in the stat, which is probably the most important thing of all, revenge factor, because I'm thinking of the Flyers. The bigger point is Bobrovsky, Islanders daddy. King of the Islands, Sergei Bobrovsky.
How does that 2.8 figure in with that 4.0?
No. 2.18.
Okay, 2.18. How does that figure out into that 4.0?
Well, I got to go see what his record was against the Islanders this year. I mean, you know, let's see. I don't know what he did against the Islanders this year. So
I'm going to guess he gave up 4 goals.
No, not there's no way you have a 4 goaler in there and that you have that kind of average. That doesn't make sense. Don't worry, I'll find it.
No, but that's just why not?
He definitely did not give up 4 goals against the Islanders this year. No shot.
Okay.
All right, let's see. Lost to the Islanders. Oh, he lost to the Islanders. All right, allowed 2 goals in the loss to the Islanders in November. Let's see.
As if he played in the game. There could have been a Drieger night.
No. I'm looking at his game log, Robbie. He did lose to the Islanders. Only 1 game against the Islanders this year. He lost, but he only gave up 2 goals.
only. That's what we doing now.
Two goals is good.
That's what we doing now.
What?
Yeah, see? Even the phlegm don't believe you. Your own phlegm is turning on you.
Let's see. They lost 2-1. 2-1, Leroy.
2-1.
But the point remains, Bobrovsky owns the Islanders. Owns them.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, a career matchup dream for Bobrovsky. That is, of course, if Quinville's got the guts to stick with him. You know, this Quinville's already laid the groundwork to let you know he's going to be quick to make a change. You know,
don't you feel like his leash should be shorter for this playoffs?
No. What are you going to do?
Let me ask you a question.
As a coach,
would you ride Bobrovsky? Just a simple question. I don't want to hear about the lifting of the up and all that. You got that from me. I'm the one that brought to your attention. If you're a fan of a team, don't you think that their chance of turning around bad play would be more successful with cheers?
No.
And you said, no, it's motivation.
It's motivation.
Okay.
I don't have a problem if you're a Panthers fan and you have booed Sergei Bobrovsky this year. Okay. I don't have a problem.
Let me ask you a question. How mad would you be at Quinville if he just rolled Bobrovsky out?
Look, if he has a two-game stinker, backs against the wall, put the Drieger Beaver in there.
So you're going to wait until he goes 0-2?
You're a hockey team. You can't win 3 in a row?
Oh,
what are we doing here? You can't win 3 in a row. You don't deserve to
be there. Let me ask a gambler. Bobrovsky gives up 3 goals in that first game. How short is your leash going to be?
3 goals in the first game. If going into the second game, I'd say medium. I wouldn't say it's long, but I wouldn't definitely say it's short.
If Quinville played a pirate in a movie, he'd be Captain Hook. Because he's sharpened up the hook. He can't wait to pull Bobrovsky.
What are you talking about? He hasn't.
Can't wait.
Wait, Bobrovsky earned it.
He didn't earn
it?
Look at that resume. Look at that resume against the Islanders.
Look. The resume is why he's here making $70 million.
Yep.
But the coach don't care about that. The coach trying to win games.
Rats off a ship. Game 6.
That's it. Rats off a ship.
We're back after this. All right. I'm curious what people think. What felt better in the moment? I'll put that out as a poll question. What felt better in the moment? Miami Miracle or drafting Tua Tagovailoa? I think you guys are right. I think Tua will probably win overwhelmingly, but I'd be curious. Miami Miracle was against the Patriots. Crazy play. Gronk falling on his face.
Didn't they win the Super Bowl that year?
The Patriots did, yeah.
Yes, they did.
Who cares?
In the moment.
In the moment.
No!
In the moment.
No!
I thought we were going to have some music in this. Follow. Got you.
Wait a minute.
Got you. Boxed in, son. You wait, reverse wait. Course.
What side did I take?
You said that Miami Miracle didn't matter because the Patriots won the Super Bowl that year.
Right.
But now you're saying that Miami that Tua, it didn't happen on the field, so who cares?
Things change.
What? No, it didn't. It was two weeks ago.
Oh. Mr. May have dodged the bullet.
Well, I mean, you know.
No, hell no. I'm not going to let you sit here. The way you flip-flop on players, now all of a sudden, I changed my mind on something. Let's go get the tape. Funny how quick you found that tape, Robbie.
Dodge Bullet might be the nickname of Jimmy Butler's jump shot. He was very dismissive of it.
It's certainly like the dead rabbit.
Yeah.
Give it the old number two.
And Jimmy Butler rises up, and then the coach goes, whew.
No, he starts saying, yeah.
A dead rabbit. With a dead rabbit. Do you have Jimmy Butler being dismissive of his jump shot not being a problem, Robbie? He was like, he did not want to hear it at all yesterday.
I'm just fine with how my game was. I feel like we can be better as a whole. But like I always say, as long as we're winning games, nobody's really paying attention to that. If we win a championship this year, I guarantee y'all won't talk about how bad I've been shooting the basketball.
I mean, well, I guess he's right about that. I mean, if he wins the championship this year, I don't care if he goes out there and tries to punt the basketball. Whatever. What is a better nickname for his jump shot? Dead rabbit or dodged bullet?
Probably the brick that keeps on building.
Whatever. Look, he's had a good year. I'm more in your camp of like, look, he's found a way to succeed and help this team to succeed. But you don't think there's been any tinkering from him as the season's gone on? Like a guy who's that professional has that kind of work ethic, or he's just not going to let people into that window of what his process is.
You're trying to get better, but you don't want to show weakness. You don't want to show that it's getting to you. You want people to know that you're still doing everything you can to win. And it's evident by the different ways that he's scoring points now. You know, so like
which is mostly throwing his neck at the line.
Okay, but it works.
It has worked. They've been good.
It works now. It's not going to always work, but for now, until his shot gets better, it's a sign of a true professional that can find ways to be successful, even though his fastball is not working.
They have two guys right now in Bam and Jimmy who have been fantastic creating for their teammates, and they have guys around them who, I mean, are just so nails when it comes to making jump shots, whether it's Duncan, whether it's Goron, whether it's Tyler Hero, whether it's their bigs. They do, like, their two best players can't shoot a lick, but they can find guys almost better than a lot of guys in the NBA, and the guys that they put around those players, they can all nail threes, basically. Right? Like, you feel like it's not the other guys that you feel have a problem for making those shots. You know, especially the Duncan's been amazing. Goron has been a sixth man of the year candidate. Tyler Hero's been super clutch this year.
Right.
You know,
Somebody said dodge the bullet should be on the back of his jersey.
I don't think that's appropriate.
Yeah, you don't want to put bullets. They changed Washington's name over that.
Yep. They should let him have his blank jersey, though. That's stupid. You know, speaking of, you know what I found interesting?
What if you heard the reasoning behind it?
I already know the reasoning behind it. Why is that? Because it's like, we've already come to an agreement. You know, we don't want to have too many mixed messages. It's a slippery slope. It's like, yeah, but there are no mixed messages here. It's a blank jersey. He told you what he wanted to do.
The old slippery slope. I hate
old
that.
Old slippery slope. Yeah, you know or, what it is?
Here's another one. We don't want to go down that path. It opens up a whole other can of worms.
What they hit him with is corporate.
Oh, yeah.
Corporate. I don't know what to tell you. All right.
And wait, worms don't come in a can. Why do we say that?
Open a can of worms?
Yeah.
They don't come in a can. What do they come in?
They come in like a little plastic container with dirt in it.
Well, don't you ever see those silly sauce cans that you just open the can and all this stuff comes out?
I see it every day. Every day Tobin opens up one of those. There you go. With the snake in it.
I was asking Spo yesterday. I asked him about... He was so dismissive of this question. But it's because he's...
Let's hear it.
So I asked him, I said, are you worried about giving refs the business in an empty gym? And like, you know, them being more sensitive. And he goes, what? He goes, what? No. He goes, no, I'm not worried about it. I don't get technicals. And it's...
No,
yeah,
but I don't get a lot of technicals, but sometimes how I say something might be misinterpreted. So without the crowd noise, I don't know how that'll have an effect. But I have actually bumped into more officials in the last 48 hours than I have other head coaches, if that explains something. I haven't bumped into a lot of the head coaches, but all the officials got out of the quarantine yesterday, so they're all everywhere.
I mean, I guess technically he doesn't get a lot of technicals if we're going to be technical about technicals, but he also dresses them down in these press conferences better than anybody, and he always does it with the caveat of NBA, do not fine me.
NBA, Spo has found the greatest niche in coaching. And here's what it is. When you look at Spo, you don't consider him a hothead.
No.
You consider him a calm, you know, laid-back guy. So when he's giving officials the business, nobody sees Spo as giving them the business.
But he
and he can pretty much get away with more stuff than the hotheads get away with.
He's been ejected only once in his career. It was in a double overtime game, I think, against the Clippers.
And he was tired. He needed a nap.
At the end of a game where LeBron got hacked, and he was freaking out. I think they kicked him out with like 0.6 left or something like that. It wasn't even not a true ejection. So he's never been ejected. He doesn't get technicals. And yet he always comes at him with NBA, do not fine me. And
it works. Yeah,
do not fine me.
Then he'll come at you and be like, listen, I could say this. I'm not complaining. I'm just pointing out that was a terrible call.
I can say this because I'm not complaining. I'm still, you know, upset about that charge block call.
And why is it I can say this? Why is it? Why can he say that? Because if it was anybody else, they'd be like, bro, that's a five. Hey, here. Spo, that's $5,000.
You know who else can get away with it? Brad Stevens.
I don't know. I don't know what Brad Stevens is.
Now, you know who can't get away with it?
Other than being wildly overrated, I don't know what his statistics are in his career.
Pop loses his mind.
Yep. But Pop's been ejected before. Pop gets texts. Pops will get texts on purpose.
My man in with the Clippers.
Rivers?
Doc Rivers.
Oh, my goodness. Any Van Gundy that's ever coaching.
All the Van Gundys. Hey,
here's when you know you're ejectable material. When you are sweating on the sidelines, you are looking for a reason to explode.
Tibbs.
Oh, yeah.
Tibbs.
You know the hotheads.
I can say this. This is just the truth. You can't find me for the truth. Are we spitting here truth, or are we just, what are we talking about? I'm just upset about the charge block call. That was a bum-ass call.
Text comes in. Worms used to come in a can a long time ago.
Huh?
Worms used to come in a can.
I can say this. All right. Worms came in a can a long time ago. Do not find me. Don't get a lot of texts yet because you always do this masterful jujitsu trick in the midst of the post game where you're telling people not to find you, and he always gets away with it.
Kurt gets a lot of, somebody said Kurt gets away with a lot of stuff.
Don't you remember the what about the time when he ran across the court this year?
Right,
he was like this. He got and everybody's like, Spo, what are you doing? He was on the other side of the hardwood, yeah. And people are like, what? And then he's just like, it was all in good fun. It was all in good fun. Just for jokes. I kid.
All right.
Get
he
some
gets
sleep.
Away with it because you don't see. Yeah. How Leroy, about get some sleep? That's not offensive.
He told the referees, get some sleep.
Get some sleep.
Which suggests.
Eyes weren't working.
Which suggests that he saw the referees howling at the moon. That they
oh,
were
did
out
they cancel
there.
All the, in a, hey, Robbie, did they cancel all the preseason games?
That was the end of what the NFL offered on the table. They offered the players that they wouldn't have to play in the preseason games.
Okay. So that means the preseason will be the first four games.
First four games of the regular season, yeah, basically.
Give me some ugly football, you're saying?
Yep. So what will happen? It's the worst possible scenario for Tua.
Is it?
Yeah.
They got no film on him. Surprise.
It has not.
Element of surprise.
Yeah, that means the home team, too. Tua needs reps.
They won't know what's hitting them.
Oh, no, Greasy and
Stockton. Oh, no.
I'm telling you, he needs the reps.
I was definitely looking forward to hearing the old goats try and say Tungavailoa and Igbenogany.
They just say Tua.
Oh, no.
Iggy, Tua. That's it. Iggy, Tua. Go
I can
it.
Say this. Listen, I don't care if there's nobody here. Do not find me. There's going to be nobody there, Leroy. How is he not going to get caught this time? Nobody's worried about this?
I want to know, with that echo chamber, you think we could barely pick up some stuff before. Now everything's going to be clear as day.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Man, how annoying is that dribbling of the ball going to be with
the squeaking?
Harden.
Squeaky shoes?
Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah. Step back. Travel.
Man, nothing like the back to step back from the foul line. And then the defensive guys just throwing up their hands. Come on, guy! Come on! Come on!
We'll take a break. We're back more after this. I was there with the Kentucky Derby and the hats. It's Tobin and Leroy here with you. Ron Rothstein's going to join us in about an hour, just a little under an hour or so. We'll talk to the inaugural Heat head coach, best television analyst in all of the National Basketball Association. Love Ron Rothstein. And we'll talk some Heat with the coach and get some of his thoughts on what's doing. A couple of retirements, Leroy, it looks like. Well, one's a retirement. One looks like maybe retirement. Michael Bennett has announced that he is retiring from the NFL on Instagram. He announced it. He says, retiring feels a little like self-death. Like a death of self, but I'm looking forward to the rebirth, the opportunity to reimagine my purpose. I would like to thank my wife, children who have sacrificed so much for me to succeed. I'm looking forward to supporting them the same way they have for me these last 11 years. I've never been more at peace with my life. He says, as the great Coney Morrison said, freeing yourself was one thing, claiming ownership of that freed self is another. So Michael Bennett has called it a career in the NFL. The other one is Rashad Jones, who... Rashad Jones has spoken to, now he hasn't officially retired, but he apparently does not plan. He told Joe Shad of the Palm Beach Post he does not plan to play this season. He says he's 32 years old, but he apparently is going to turn his attention to real estate, a sports agency, and gourmet ice cream with Marshawn Lynch.
Cool.
Gourmet ice cream. I can imagine Marshawn Lynch making some good ice cream. It got sprinkles in it. It'd be delicious.
Skittles,
yeah. Oh, Skittles, so good. He goes, it definitely wasn't a shock about his Dolphins release. Wasn't a shock. I knew it was about time. They owed me a lot of money. Injury became part of it, and it was time to part ways. I think I had an amazing run. I had a great career. Really, I think I had Hall of Fame numbers. You look at me, Troy Polamalu, Brian Dawkins. He played 16 years. I really had Hall of Fame numbers. It just wasn't a Hall of Fame team. We just couldn't put the games together, but I had an amazing career. Joe Shad writes that Zach Thomas is the only one to have more solo tackles in Dolphins history since the statistic began in 94, and only Jason Taylor has scored more defensive touchdowns in Miami history.
Wow. That's upset.
Yep. He says, there's no way I shouldn't have been on the all-decade team. You go look at any safety, Eric Berry, whoever, the numbers can't compare. They don't add up. I don't have any regrets about my 10-year career saying I should have done this or should have done that. But if I play again, it's still in the air. You know, I have to feel like I got into this for everything I did and needed to do. 9-year starter, a 5th-round pick. Didn't get anything handed to me. I had to go work for everything. And then I get put in the numbers up. You look at the sacks, interceptions, tackles. You look at anybody. Eric Berry, Earl Thomas, any top safety. There's no safety better in the last decade than Rashad Jones. Going third person on our ass, Leroy.
I mean, if he has to say that, is he a Hall of Famer?
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. No, I don't think he's a Hall of
Famer. I mean, his look, what he's saying about his numbers were surprising to me. But the way those things normally work is when you have to tell people about your numbers, then usually you're not a Hall of Famer.
He is right. He is right that I think team does have a lot to do with it. I think that probably part of the reason why maybe people weren't sure about Jason Taylor getting it on the first ballot was because he never had that much team success. I think probably part of the reason that Zach Thomas isn't in the Hall of Fame right now is because of team success. And his team success was a little bit worse than those guys was.
Right.
So that's tough. I think it is in a tough spot.
I mean, a defensive guy would have more of a chance getting in on a bad team than an offensive guy, though. Because you can always look at the numbers and say, oh, they always played catch up. He was just a looter and a riot. But picks are picks, tackles are tackles.
You might be right about that, but I would feel like just off the top of my head, it would be the opposite, because it feels like a lot of the times guys who make the Hall of Fame from defense are usually like on all-time defenses. Like it feels like it just inevitably leads to a lot of team success, and so therefore that's what gets them there in the Hall of Fame.
Well,
but I'm just kind of
the point was should he even should he said he should have been on the All-Decade team.
Yeah, he should have been on the All-Decade team in his mind. But the guys that he's talking about
were on winning teams.
Were on winning teams. Absolutely.
So basically, he got screwed by where he was selected, or where he ended up playing.
No, I mean, did he get screwed? I mean, he had a good career. He did turn himself into a fifth round pick to turn into that kind of a good player, a really good player, great player for a long time. I do feel like the last few years it kind of tapered off for sure.
Well, because of the situation. Keep in mind, Gase
injuries.
He admitted that.
But certainly the start to the career I thought was dynamic.
But here's the deal. When I say,
do you think Rashad Jones? Let me ask you this: do you think, because I don't think he's going to make Hall of Fame, but do you think right. that Rashad Jones will end up in the Ring of Honor for the Dolphins? I don't know.
Here's the issue.
Madison Sertan aren't up there, right?
Nope,
they're not up there. So I don't think he's. I don't know.
Here's the issue though, and here's how I look at Hall of Fame. If I say, name a safety that's a Hall of Famer. Quick. Name a guy.
Rodney Lott.
Right.
Dawkins just made it right.
Name the guys that just come right off the top of your head.
Ed Reed,
Troy Polamalu. Right? You understand what I'm saying? And so I think a lot of people are unfamiliar with Rashad Jones' career. And that's what's going to hurt him more than anything. Because what I hate about sports is we pick and choose what numbers mean anything. But the numbers are the numbers. And that's the issue that I would have with that. But when I say Rashad Jones and I say safety, you don't think of him in the same way you think of those other guys. Because one, Troy Polamalu, we always saw him on TV. We always saw him in the big games. We always saw him in the playoffs, Super Bowls, right? Ronnie Lott, winner, always on, you know, that team. You know, you know Ronnie's a Hall of Famer. You start thinking about stories about Ronnie Lott.
He's a two-time Pro Bowler. He's never made All-Pro.
But again, those things. 2014,
he played 12 games, I think, because he was suspended. I'm pretty sure he had a PED suspension to start the year. Had a couple, like last year, only played 4 games. 2016, only played 6 games. Every other, and then the rest of the season basically played all the games that he was eligible to play in.
Right. So, again, you know, if, and I don't know what the numbers are, I don't know what numbers he's using. But when I say Hall of Famer, even if they got.
Ooh,
did you get
that.
Putin or did I get Putin?
No, it was Leroy.
Leroy got Putin. That was hard. Hard Putin. Yeah, I don't know. I would wonder if most Dolphins think, because he was, you know, the other thing that happened with Rashad Jones, because like Leroy was right with the whole thing with Gase, is he was kind of looked upon as the ideal Dolphin who showed up through hard times no matter what, always played. And then a lot of that kind of tapered off at the end. Like, he was tired of the bleep. Like, he had the game where he kind of walked off the field, where they were trying to change his role. He wasn't happy with that. So it didn't have the greatest ending to it either.
But think about this. If I tell you that guy's a Hall of Famer, you're not asking him to change that much. You're asking him to be him.
Right. No, I agree.
And so, you know, look, again, I don't know what the numbers are. If he's telling me the numbers are equal, I will go ahead on and believe that. Right. But a lot of times with a lot of guys, and we've seen it before, especially with wide receivers, you say, man, look at those numbers. And you go, how come during his career we never really talked about him? Right? Because of either where they played or whatever. You know who's going to be an interesting candidate for that? AJ Green.
Yes. Here's Joe Shad writes, says, in evaluating Jones against Eric Berry, Earl Thomas, and Eric Weddle, between 2010 and 2019. Jones ranks first in tackles for loss, first in sacks, first in fumble recoveries, second in solo tackles, third in interceptions, and first in touchdowns scored.
Right, right. So here's what I hate about the whole
thing. This is a pretty crazy one. He's played for six Dolphins head coaches.
Right.
Six Dolphins head coaches.
And he's going to get penalized for that.
That's pretty crazy.
He's going to get penalized for that. But think about this. If I take those same numbers and put them on the other players, you would say, surefire Hall of Famer. Right?
Yeah.
Why? That's my question. Because if the numbers speak for themselves, should it matter who has the numbers? They're Hall of Fame worthy.
He says, I love the fans. I love Miami. It hurt a lot not being on a winning team, a winning program. You always get overlooked when you don't win games. Winning games in the Super Bowl, all the accolades. That's how things come along. Look at Earl Thomas. He won the Super Bowl. He was on a Super Bowl defense for 4 or 5 years. He played along Cam Chancellor for 4 or 5 years. He played with Richard Sherman for 5 years. Those guys had a camaraderie. They stuck together. I played with Chris Clemens, Jeremiah Bell, Jimmy Wilson, Lou Delmas, probably 8 or 9 safeties in 10 years. I never had the chance to be on a winning team and build and play with something solid. If you look at the numbers and look at my production and look at what I've done in this league, it's second to none. I should have been top three, being the top three for the decade for sure, if not the best.
Agreed. If I take those numbers and I put them on the other players, you don't even bat an eye. Oh, yep. Absolutely. But should the numbers have a name?
Should
the numbers speak for whoever has
it? You sound like Arya Stark. Does the number have a name?
Right, but it's true though. When determining Hall of Fame, do the numbers have to have a name? Because are you inducting the name? Or you are inducting the accomplishments?
We'll take a quick break. Final hour of the program. Ron Rothstein's going to join us. We'll get you caught up with your headlines. We're back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.